This is the politicalbetting.com Polling Matters podcast. My name is Kieran Pedley. No TV show this week. We decided it would date quite quickly and therefore not to do one. We might be doing a sort of reaction piece either on Friday or maybe early next week, so keep an eye out for that. But today I thought I'd give sort of a very brief overview of the polls and my thoughts of the referendum campaign and what will happen tomorrow as we sort of approach polling day. We've had a host of polls out sort of this evening and today, and the picture, I think it's fair to say, is pretty mixed. Opinion have lead for leave, 45-44, however, with a 9% don't know. So although they have a lead for leave, I think it's fair to say they would have it as too close to call, and that certainly seems like the way that they're positioning their poll. TNS also have a leave lead by 2 points, 43-41, with the undecideds at 16, or undecided slash won't vote. So again, you know, pretty close, pretty much too close to call for them too, although their original way of doing things, where they had a turnout model, had a 7-point lead for leave, but they've gone away from that. So that's something to bear in mind. But we're seeing a sort of steady pattern, which we've seen kind of all the way through the referendum campaign, apart from a sort of brief period, maybe a week or so ago, where the online polls looking pretty neck and neck, pretty good for leave, and that seems to be continued here on the eve of referendum polls. Certainly also the case with YouGov, although YouGov have the result neck and neck, they have the their final numbers slightly the other way around, so they have Remain 51, Leave 49. There are some exceptions, and one of the big ones tonight is Comrades, who have come out with an 8-point lead for the Remain side, so Remain on 54, lead on 40, Leave on 46. And that is largely, I suspect, down to their turnout model, where they try and weight the sort of result to how they think different audiences will turn out, and that has been partly their reaction to the sort of polling miss last year. And I think it's fair to say that Comrades is also at a telephone poll, and I think it's fair to say that they are quite close to what we've seen for other phone pollsters like the ORB and Servation. So what do we make of this all? I mean, how should we interpret this as people go to the polls tomorrow? I mean, I think it's fair to say that we do see the telephone versus online modal difference rearing its head again very clearly. But at the same time, I think it's fair to say that this referendum is pretty much too close to call, although the odds would be in favour of a Remain victory. I also have other views that sort of give me, have led me to the opinion that Remain is likely to prevail tomorrow. Some research from BMG and also from NatSen in a different way have shown that it looks like Remain voters might be slightly harder to reach, but also that don't knows tend to break for Remain disproportionately. And that's quite important, because if you're excluding don't knows from your sample because you think that actually they'll break the same way as the rest of your sample, then maybe you're sort of missing a trick. But in any case, I think that when you break it all down and when you look at it, my instinct is that on the day, the status quo and that sort of sense of risk will prevail. But we can't be sure. And I think we've got to be honest about this. We can't be certain, because we just don't know who will turn out and in which locations, which regions of the country, and to what levels. And that's going to be really important. And it may be something of a sort of statement of fact that turnout is going to be key to this result. But I still think it's worth pointing out, because there are such sharp demographic differences in how people will vote tomorrow. And we'll come to that again in a moment. So the polls are as clear as mud, if you like, but maybe leaning towards Remain. But what should we make of this campaign as we go to the polls? I mean, I think it's fair to say, as many would agree, it's been something of an unpleasant campaign, not least because of the tragic murder of Joe Cox. And we saw the sort of memorial, if you like, today would have been her birthday. And it, you know, it's very hard not to be moved by that. You know, this scumbag has decided to shoot someone on the basis of what, you know, of the difference of opinion, of her political beliefs, of his own warped sense of what being British is. You know, it's disgraceful, and it's also bitterly, bitterly sad. And we shouldn't forget that, you know, when all is said and done after this referendum. But it's been an unpleasant campaign in other ways too, in terms of the tone of it and you know, some of the narrative around it. You know, from both sides, to be honest, as well. You know, on the Leave side, we've seen, frankly, bold-faced lies in terms of, or, you know, dishonesty, shall we say, in terms of the amount of money sent to the EU and the prospects of Turkey joining, or, you know, a European army being developed and that sort of thing. But it's not all been from the Leave side. I think on the Remain side, we've seen a sort of slightly patronising tone at times, sort of virtually smearing anybody that sort of supports Leave as, you know, a closet racist or a little Englander or someone that's been duped by Rupert Murdoch or slightly thick. You don't have to look very far to see sort of coded or not so coded messages to that effect. And, you know, that's not been particularly pleasant to watch, particularly as someone who has friends and family, you know, supporting Leave and who has considered it strongly himself. You know, it's not what you want to see. And I think that the key point is there's going to be a country after this referendum, and we're going to need to come together. So it will be interesting to see how that's tackled. Of course, a lot of that's going to depend on what the actual result is. Thinking more generally about the campaign itself, I think it's taught us a lot about the divisions within the country, both geographically, where you've got places like Scotland and London and Northern Ireland being particularly pro-Remain, but also, on the other hand, places like Essex, parts of Essex, parts of the Midlands, and maybe certain seaside towns being pro-Leave. The issue of immigration has obviously reared its head significantly, and, you know, we've got big generational differences between older and younger voters, but I think what is perhaps the most significant, in my opinion, is the difference between graduates and non-graduates, which appears to be kind of opening up a political cleavage that we've seen developing in the last sort of 5-10 years. Perhaps it was always there, where, you know, there is this kind of resentment among, you know, not just non-graduates, but sort of, I guess, the non-political class, if you want to call it that, versus what they perceive to be an out-of-touch elite in Westminster. And one should expect that to persist. And it's certainly something that sort of transcends party lines too. So that will be sort of one to watch. And I guess what will be also something to keep a very close eye out for is, you know, what happens next? You know, what happens after this event tomorrow? That'll be something this podcast covers in extensive detail, you know, as results unfold. I think there are implications for all of the parties. I mean, obviously, David Cameron's fate is directly tied into this result, but in reality, even if it is a Remain result, his days are arguably numbered anyway. I mean, we know he's not going to fight another election. So he'll be on the way out. And how the Conservatives either reconcile themselves with a Remain vote, when I think probably the majority of Conservative voters will have gone Leave, will be important. Likewise, if it is a Leave vote, you know, how they collect themselves and gather themselves as a party to decide what comes next is also going to be critically important, not just to them, but to the country. On the other hand, with the Labour Party, I mean, there are other issues too. If you know, the Labour Party is a sort of broadly pro-Remain party, but at the same time, there'll be several Labour MPs whose constituencies will have gone Leave, regardless of the outcome. So I mean, obviously, if the result is Leave, then that has huge implications for Labour and how they react. You know, do they call for another referendum, or do they try and embrace things? It will depend again on the result. But if it is a Remain vote, there's still implications that, as I say, certain MPs will have their constituents have gone Leave. And I think they'll have to come to terms with the prospect that, you know, to many, free movement of labour is part of the reason why wages are stagnant or low, and job security and in certain sectors is poor.
and it's insecure. And you know, that isn't the sole free movement of labour isn't the sole reason for that, but it contributes to it. And I suppose a Labour Party that is, if it's for anything, is to try and prevent low wages and to sort of deal with job insecurity, not just 0 hours contracts and minimum wages, but also throughout the sort of pay scale, if you like, that's going to be something that they're going to have to deal with. And of course, for UKIP, where do they go from here if they win or lose? If they lose, could they sort of lose the battle but win the war in a way the SNP did in Scotland, or might they sort of fade away into irrelevance as the Tory party gets more and more Eurosceptic? If they win, how do they go from there, having achieved their aim? I mean, is their role then to try and ensure that a proper Brexit is secured and not some sort of compromise that Remain, MPs that favour Remain cobbled together? It's all going to be really very interesting. I suspect that Remain will prevail for reasons I've given. I just have a feeling that on the day, the don't knows will swing behind the status quo. And I think that there is some evidence, as I said, that Remain voters may be underrepresented in polls, but we don't know. And I guess in closing, as a lot of people have tweeted me and asked me what my personal opinions on this are. It's always difficult as a sort of commentator of sorts to decide whether or not you should really give your view on that. Although I wasn't particularly shy with the Labour Party leadership, so maybe I'll give my thoughts. I mean, I think for me, I've been torn. I've been torn throughout, more so than I expected, actually. I think that I don't personally have a lot of love for the EU. It feels very remote. It feels like it's run by people who, I don't really know who they are and how to get rid of them. And I'm not convinced that if you talk about reform, that that's coming. I mean, Jean-Claude Juncker sort of was very clear about that, today, both in terms of Britain's relationship with the EU. But I think also more generally, the EU reforming itself within, it's such a huge organisation where lots of countries have vetoes on certain issues. And I suppose in a perverse way, what you would want for the EU to become a more agile decision-making body is for it to centralise power and to streamline decision-making. And that doesn't sound like something that the UK would agree to. So you're kind of in this catch-22 where the institution requires reform and needs to be more nimble, but feels a bit too big to do that. As I sort of alluded to in my comments about Labour a moment ago, there are issues with free movement that are more specific than just saying that, if you oppose that, then you're racist. I mean, I think there's bigger, wider issues than that. But all that being said, we are left at the end of the day with the economic argument and with the risk argument. And as someone with a mortgage, as someone with a job, the prospect of a recession, is something that you have to consider seriously. And I suppose what it comes down to for me on the day, why I would lean Remain, even though I am not 100% sure even now, is the question of, is it worth it? Is a Leave vote worth the likely recession? Is it worth the upheaval that it will bring? Do we even know what we're going to get out of it? I think that's probably the key point. In all seriousness, if people take a step back, we don't know what comes next. And I suppose to some extent, you can never know with certainty what comes next. And some people will say, you don't know what happens if we remain. And that's true. That's fair enough. But it just feels like to make such a seismic decision, and this is a seismic decision, we ought to know more about what we can expect next. And I think if you were going to criticise the sort of side in Scotland for not having a plan, then you can quite legitimately criticise the Leave side for not having a plan as well. But whichever way you're going to vote, whether Remain or Leave, I understand people that are going to vote Leave. There's still an outside chance I would consider doing that, but I think in reality I personally will go Remain. Whatever happens, I kind of hope the result is decisive. I hope it's kind of 54-46 either way, and at least then, the losing side won't fully accept it, but at least a decisive result means that the majority can kind of move on and hopefully make the best of what happens, because the recriminations from this, I suspect, will be significant. But that's all. I'll leave it there for this evening's podcast. We'll be breaking the results down in more detail in the coming days, and sort of looking at some of the implications of what comes next. For my part, I'll be on the BBC World Service overnight for those people who are up and about between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. sort of breaking down the results as they come in. I think turnout is going to be crucial. I think some of these bellwether places that will be worth watching out for as well. And I think Chris Hanratty and Steve Fisher and academics like that have done some really good work on where to look out for. So if you're interested, do check that out. That's all I've got time for tonight. Hope you enjoyed listening. Do sort of like and share the podcast if you enjoy what you hear, and stay tuned for some more televised episodes with guests in the coming weeks.